Go ahead and have a seat. We are continuing this series called Greater. And I want to give you a little background on why I decided to do this series now and where the thoughts began. I try to run, which means I don't do it very well, but every once in a while I'll go out. And what I do when I run, I don't know what you do if you run, is I'll put headphones in and I'll listen to different podcasts. And so for that day, I decided to listen to Brian Houston, who's the pastor at Hillsong, which is in Australia, but they have churches all over the place. And he was talking about this idea of how God grows us, how God enlarges our capacity, how God makes us greater than what we were. And he's basically, the idea is growth. And just so you're aware that this principle is growth is a scriptural deal. In Genesis, if you know me, I love Genesis 1, 2, and 3. I love the whole Bible, but I especially love those three chapters because it explains a lot about where we are and where God wanted to take us. And in Genesis 1 through 3, he often talks about this idea of growth. In fact, the first commandment, the first one he gives, is not about eating the fruit. It was, do you guys know what it is? Be fruitful and multiply. You know what that means? He says grow, spread out, multiply. When you read about how God was creating the world, he uses this phrase over and over again that's kind of really caught my attention. He says he used seed-bearing plants. And he mentions it four or five or six times. Like when he created this idea of seeds and this idea. So what that tells me is he created the idea of growth, that we're not what we were, but we're not what we're going to be. That's the idea of growth. Growth is that we are on a journey and we're starting small, and then that is you have some capacity, but that capacity begins to grow and just becomes, whether it's an apple tree, you start with a seed, you become a whole tree, or whatever it is, that God has designed this idea of growth. We have a theological word for growth. It's called sanctification. Sanctification is this idea that God is doing a work in us to make us whole or make us mature or make us complete. In the New Testament, they use all sorts of different words to describe it. But he says God is on journey. God is working in us to increase our capacity, to grow us, to become all that we can be. And so this series is about how does God grow us? Because here's the truth. This morning, you all come in and you have some sort of stress or concern in your life, right? You're all carrying something that is, maybe it's your finances. You're like, man, if I could only grow to do my finances better, if I could only help my marriage, if I could only do my job better. And what I want you to be able to frame or be able to think about is that this idea of growth is not the idea of God taking away those stresses, but that what God wants to do is use those, rather than it crushing us, we get on top of those stresses, those concerns, those worries, and we become greater because of them. That God wants to use those circumstances, and this morning something different, to allow us to be greater. And this morning, I'm going to give you the brief version first. God uses people to grow us. And I'm going to actually do the inverse as well. That if you don't have people in your life who are helping you grow, you can't be all that God designed you to be. Listen, this growth idea is, we have some kids in here, all right? I don't know what our youngest to oldest is, but if you put some of these younger kids in here who are maybe 8, 10, 12, and said, listen, I don't believe in growth, I just think you just do it, we're just going to put you in the car and just drive. You don't have to grow into it, just I'm going to give you your license. I'm going to give you your permission. Just take my car. Here are the keys. They can't even reach the pedals yet. They don't even know what a turn signal is. Until they're 22, they don't know what a gas tank is. You know, they don't even know where to fill it up. They're like, oh, mom, dad, I need money. You know, they're growing. And aren't you glad as you watch your kids that they have grown, they can do things now that they can't do earlier. Aren't you glad that you're not changing your kids' diapers when they're 16? Aren't you glad that you're not like feeding them? Aren't you glad that they have grown? And aren't you glad that God is still working in them to grow them to more and more and more? Listen, you don't put a first grader in high school. You don't put a 3-year-old behind the steering wheel of a car. You let them grow. Let me just tell you, as adults in here too, if God put you in a position today, aren't you glad that he didn't put you there when you were 18, 20? I'm just going to tell you something. If God put you where you are today, years ago, you would have destroyed it. God is expanding your capacity. God is about growing you, that you can do more now than you did 3 years ago. And I can I just kind of forecast a little bit? What God's really doing too is, in 10 years from now, he wants your capacity to be even greater than what it is today. And I want to get on board with what God's doing. I want to get on the same train. I want to join him. We talk about humility. I want to be able to say to God, I know that you're increasing my capacity, and I know at times I don't like the way you increase my capacity. I don't know how you're growing me, but I want to get on board with it. I want to join you because I want to become. I want to be a greater husband. I want to be a greater father. I want to be a greater leader. I want to have such intimacy with my Savior that I can't even describe it to people. Does it make sense? I want to grow. I want to become more. And so we're going to be over in Exodus 18 and talking about how God uses people to grow us. And we're going to be talking about this guy named Moses. If you've ever seen the movie Ten Commandments, or maybe a better way to put it, if you've ever been flipping through the TV when the Ten Commandments on, do you know it's on every year? This old actor, Heston, is the one with a stick, you know, and he's Moses. That's the story we're kind of telling. So what happened with Moses is he was born with a calling on his life. I don't know if you realize this or not, but God had told his parents, this guy's special, he's going to do something incredible. Later on, he finds out he's going to lead his people out of Egypt, this powerful nation, to the promised land that he had promised his people 430 plus years beforehand. And so so Moses knows this, and he's growing up in it. He's growing up in the educational system of Egypt. He's adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, the king of Egypt, and he's learning all this leadership stuff and all this language stuff and all this. He is smarter. He's educated. And now he starts thinking, because I've grown so much, maybe I'm ready to take my people, the people, my nationality, out of Egypt to the promised land. So he tries to do it himself. But God knows he's not ready to lead yet. You know what he does? He decides to kill somebody to rescue his people, and then he ends up being chased out of Egypt, and he ends up spending 40 years in the desert just basically watching sheep, which is a great profession, but it's not where God had called him to. But for 40 years, God is growing him. God is expanding his capacity so that one day he could be the leader that he's called to be. So 40 years later, you may know the story. All of a sudden he's walking through, it's a normal day, every day, and there's this crazy thing that happens. There's a bush on fire, and he's like, man, that's a kind of weird in the desert. I'm going to go check it out. He goes check it out. And then the weirder thing is, there's God talking to him through a burning bush. And God says, hey, listen, remember what I called you to, that you're supposed to lead my people out of Egypt to the promised land? Well, it's time. And Moses is like, listen, I tried that once, and I'm done. Don't choose me. And God says, no, I'm choosing you. So I can't even talk right, God. And God's like, I don't care. And he's like, they're not going to listen to me, God. And God's like, just do what I tell you to do. I'll take care of all the details. But God. So he gives God all these excuses why he can't, why he won't. And finally he says, send someone else. And God's a little frustrated. Says, no, I have chosen you and I have grown you to this point. And now you're ready. Now just trust me. And so Moses finally says, okay, God, I'll go. And so he goes into Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world, talks to Pharaoh, and says, hey, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, and just because you ask, I'm going to make it tougher on you. The people will have to collect more straw, and they're going to have to work harder. And all of a sudden, the people come back to Moses and say, Moses, you're an idiot. Why did you do that? And then Moses goes back to God and says, God, you're an idiot. Why did you make me do that? This is not my plan that I had for you. And God says, just take it easy. I'm going to grow you through this. I'm going to grow your people through this. This is the growth curve that I have for you. And so finally, Moses goes back and says, all right, Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, 10 plagues, one plague, two plagues, three plagues, all the flies and gnats and boils and water to turns to blood. And every time Pharaoh says, I'm thinking about it, and then says no. Yes, no, yes, no. Finally, the 10th plague comes, and Pharaoh, you ever watch like MMA type stuff, you know, and they're tied down, and finally you see the hand slap in the mat, clap, like they're done. That's basically what Pharaoh does. He taps out. He's in a stranglehold, and Pharaoh says, God, all right, go ahead. I give up, kind of, because then he chases the people anyway. So they go out, and they're like, all right, God rescued us from the most powerful army, and also they look back, and here comes this most powerful army chasing them, and God has this brilliant idea. He's like, rather than taking the shortcut, I'm going to take you down the dead-end street. And so they end up going down, and they're faced between the army and the Red Sea. And then all the people are like, this is terrible. Why did you bring us out here? And Moses is probably feeling that frustration as well. But God's enlarging their capacity all along the way. He's enlarging their faith. And so what he does, he parts the Red Sea. They walk across on dry ground, and the Egyptian army comes back, and they kind of get washed away with the Red Sea. Great. So far, good? You following me? Many of you have heard this story, but you have to understand before we get to where we're going to be, where we were, all right? So there's a lot of precursor stuff. So finally, you're like, all right, so the people get it, right? They've grown enough to get to the promised land. God says, you're not ready yet. I'm going to take you through some more things. And they start walking through the desert, and they're like, Moses, we need water. In fact, can we just go back to Egypt? They had water. And Moses is like, what in the world? They're complaining about me again. And God provides water from a rock. They do it again. They're like, Moses, you're an idiot. Can we go back to Egypt? Because we have nothing to eat. We're starving. And Moses prays, and his faith is enlarging each time. And he's like, all right, God, you're gonna have to provide. And all of a sudden there's like manna. This incredible bread, like Krispy Kreme donuts on the ground every day, all right, that are healthy for you. That's what I'm picturing. All right, Krispy Kreme donuts, still warm, it like melts in your mouth type stuff. That's kind of what I'm picturing. And so that's what they get fed for 40. They're like, God, we're sick of Krispy Kreme. We don't want it anymore. It's too much. Can we have some meat, please? And so God, I'm going to put it in my terms, God puts down like steaks, like the best steak that you ever had, nice and tender, almost to the point of the knees, like too much steak. And he's like, here, I'll provide for you again. And they complain about water again. They complain about armies. And all along the way, God is showing up in power. Does it make sense? And so God has been growing their faith. And we get to Exodus 18. And so understand the pathway, all right? Moses is like this, on the growth curve. Yes, okay, God, I don't know. Yeah, like this going up and down. God's growing his capacity. So we get to Exodus 18, where God sends someone to grow him some more. 18 verse 1, now Jethro, the priest of Midian, and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro, his father-in-law, who he spent 40 years in the desert with at various times, who obviously he married his daughter, and they have grandkids. There's grandkids involved. He had heard about all the amazing things that God had done. And so verse 2, listen to the phrasing here. All right? Listen to what the writer, Moses himself, the writer, keeps saying about what happened. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. Listen to what happened. Moses is on this journey, right? And now he's starting to believe in his leadership. He's like, man, I'm leading a million people plus, and God used me to part the Red Sea. I held up my staff like I was amazing at that. You know, water parted, and I hit the rock, and water flew. And he's starting to believe the hype. Do you know what I mean? He's starting to say, man, I'm a good leader. And what he does is his leadership gets in the way of his family. He sends his wife. He's like, I'm too busy for you. I'm going to tell you what. I think Jethro can take care of you right now. I am doing great things for God. And I'm going to send you back to Jethro and live there for a little while. I'll come and get you. Her two sons, one son, verse 3, one son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land, and the other name was Eleazar, for he said, my father's God was my helper. Names are important in Scripture, especially the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. But you see the names. His first son was in his frustration, like, man, I'm a foreigner. I'm an outsider. I have nothing. I'm alone. The second time, as this growth curve is happening, the second time he says, my father's God was my helper. Notice he doesn't say his God. My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. And the growth curve is, you could see it even in the names that he gives his kids. Verse 5, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife. Do you see that phrase again? I think there's a point there. Came to him in the wilderness where he camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and kids. You follow me with this? Do you see what Jethro is kind of pointing out? Things, as you're growing, things can look good. You can have, like, success. You can see God's move in your life, and there can be, like, down on the horizon, there's going to be issues coming. And Jethro is seeing the issues. Moses is seeing the right now. He's inside his little leadership cocoon. He is, like, expanding his capacity, and but Jethro's seeing a year down, seeing the issues with his wife and the issues with his kids, and saying, listen, things have got to change. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other. Another version says this. They asked each other about how things were really going. They found out what's happening in each other's life. I don't think Jethro came and went to Moses and said, hey, Moses, how you doing? Moses said, hey, great, father-in-law. I don't know what he called him. Maybe he called him dad. Maybe he called him by his first name. I don't know. And he's like, great. And I don't think Jethro accepted that. Jethro was asking about his wife. Here's the problem with us in where we are now. Most of us in this room, when we're asked about our welfare, about how we're really doing, we're like, yeah, I'm not telling you. I tell you, you know what good is? Good is saying, I don't want to tell you. If I say, how are you? You say, good. You're saying, I don't want to really tell you. We have this way of saying, I'm going to keep you at a distance. I'm going to keep you, listen, if you want to grow, if you want to enlarge, you need people who you can talk about your welfare with, how you're really doing. You can't, although you think you can carry it alone, you think you can answer your own problems, you think you can grow yourself through it, you can't. You need someone from an outsider's perspective to speak into your life. And I don't know why we wrestle with this so much. Maybe we don't trust people. But I know we do. Listen to what it says next. And then they went into the tent. I'm going to give you, I'm probably reading too much into this, but I want you to understand, because this is again, U.S., this is where we live. Sometimes you have to invite people into your life. See, this is what I know. When my wife and I want people to come over, my wife tells me, we have, like, a lot to do because we want to make sure it looks good, right? We want to make sure the dog hair is gone. We want to make sure the kids have all the toys cleaned up because that's how they live. They always clean up their toys. And we want to make sure the beds are made because our family always makes our beds. You know, we have this list. The sink's never empty. Like, it's empty for once, you know. And we have this list of things because when we invite someone in, we don't want them to see the real us. We want them to see the show us. We need to invite people in so that they can see the real us. Authenticity. Listen, if you want to grow, you got to stop for a few people. For your Jethros, you need to be authentic. You need to invite them in so they can see really how you are doing, how your welfare is. You need to invite people into your tent. But for most people, they are so busy working inside of their life, trying to produce results in their life, trying to make their marriage healthy, trying to work their finances healthy, that they can never really allow. Listen, there's a book that came out a while back about people in business. That you can work, here's the phrase, you can work in your business, doing the details of your business, or you can work on your business. Do you know the difference between the two? Well, when you're working in your business, you're doing the same thing. You're getting things done, right? You're getting things off the list. You're kind of. But when you're working on your business, or you're really asking the question, am I even doing the right things? Is this going to get me to where I need to go? When you're working on your business, you're working on the systems and the people. You're like looking at it from large scale, saying, is this going to get me to where I need to be? Can I just tell you, most of you are living your life inside your life and never can look at it from the outside. Does that make sense? Like we may even try, but we can't because we're too close to the situation. We have too much emotion into the situation. We think we see things right, but I'm going to tell you, we don't when we're in the middle of it. Does that make sense? We need help seeing the big picture. We need help seeing our life from the outside. This is what Jethro does. So it starts with verse 7 again, or actually verse 8. Moses told, so they start talking. This is what Moses focused on, because this is what we do too. Moses says to his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord saved them. He starts, maybe he believes this, or maybe this is his political spin of things. It's like, oh, Jethro, let me just tell you what God's doing. Let me tell you about the only God stories. Let me tell you all the good that's happening. We are on top of the mountain. We're on the base of the mountain of God. Did you hear that phrase? And we're looking. Jethro, look at this. The whole part in the Red Sea, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? The 10 plagues, that's pretty cool. The water from the rock. Even the hardship he's worked through. We're like, this has been great. I'm so excited about what God's doing in my life. And this is what Jethro does. Jethro in your life, they celebrate with you, right? They're like, man, that's really cool. You need people who could celebrate with you. Man, I'm so excited about what God's doing. I see it too. That's great. That's exciting. And he goes through some verses about how he celebrates with him. Verse 13. It says this: the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said to him, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning to evening?" So let me give you the picture. So Moses meets with his father-in-law, and finally the next day he gets up to go to work, and he sits down at his judge's seat, this place where he's kind of telling people how to solve their problems. He's being a Jethro to everybody else, right? And he's this, like, a line, I'm trying to think, like Disney World times 10. Like, it's out the door. Like, you're waiting in line because you have this big issue, and you need someone to speak into that issue. And Jethro's watching. He's over here. Moses is like, man, this is really cool. It's amazing. God's using me. I'm giving wise advice to all these people. And then their lives are really changing. It's really good. Jethro over here is looking like, that's not right. Yeah, God's working, but this is going to lead to destruction. This is going to lead to issues. And so Jethro, not afraid to speak his mind, says to Moses, let me understand you now. Why are you doing it this way? Let's stop from doing what's inside our life. Let's take a step back. Let's work on how we do this leadership thing and how we expand our capacity. Why are you doing it this way? And so Moses' response is, basically, I'm speaking for God for people. I mean, God gives me something to say, I tell them all day. You know, that's what I do. Listen to what he says. Verse 17, Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." Here's what a Jethro does. This is what we need in our life. We need people who can look at our life and say, "What you're doing is not good." But Moses is like, "But look at all the things that God has done through me and with me. Look at what's happening with these people's lives. Look at all this God things that I'm experiencing." And Jethro's looking, yeah, right now you're looking like you're at the top of the mountain, but I'm just telling you, the path that you're taking will lead to destruction in your family and destruction for your people. Listen to what he says. "What you're doing is not right. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. You're going to affect yourself. And listen, you're going to affect the people that you lead. This is going to be a problematic thing. You need to deal with it." Can I just add, do you have anyone in your life who speaks truth to you. I'm not talking about like, oh, you look pretty today, kind of like, I'm talking about who sees into your life. Because this is what we do as we see people, you know this, you watch it at work and you watch it other places, the people, you just see the train wreck coming. You see it. You're watching and you're like, not my problem. We don't say it quite like that. Like, eh, they don't want to listen to me anyway. Eh, if they come to me, I'll talk to them. If we're going to enlarge our capacity, if we're going to become more of what God wants us to become, don't we need people to say, what you're doing is not good. Your family's suffering. Your people will suffer. You're going to suffer. You're going to burn out. You can't keep running this race the way you're running it. If you're going to be here for the long haul, the word we used last week was perseverance, you're going to have to make changes. What Jethro does is, this is the changes you need to make. And you know what the word says? What verse 24 says? And maybe this is the part that we struggle with. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Moses said, humility, humbly before Jethro says, you know you're right. Things need to change. I need to grow. And my question to you, if you're wrestling with your marriage, who's your Jethro in your marriage? If you're wrestling with your finances, who are you going to help you see it from the reality side? If you're wrestling with your job situation, who's your Jethro? You can't do it alone. You can't. And I'm gonna tell you the principle. Those that do it alone end up on the side of the road to where God wanted to take them. I see this all the time in the news of pastors and leaders who are they have the only God stories. You know what I mean? Like they're being used, their churches are huge and everything. And all of a sudden, they hit a moment. They hit moments and moments of times when things just start. They don't have a Jethro. They have no one speaking truth into their life. They have no one they're submitting to either. They have no one they're like, yeah, you're right. What I wanted to do for the last 5-7 minutes, I wanted you to see how this can work in a church. Like, what do we do as a church to help people have people speak? And we do this thing called small groups, basically groups of 8 to 10 or take a few here and there that kind of head that direction of how do we help each other enlarge our capacity. So I have a few people who are going to come up to share about their experience in one of their groups. I'm going to give you the mic. And so just to give you a little background, I'll have you guys explain. So explain when you started the small group and why, and then how long you met.
Okay. Hi, I'm Nettie. This is Abby. I joined a small group in September of last year, and I didn't really know what a small group was. All I knew is we were going to read a book together. So I was like, oh, I can join a book club. That'll be cool. We started meeting every Monday night. And I remember that the very first night, Tammy Berlew was leading the group. And she said, I just want to ask one thing. If you're going to join this group, I want you to commit to it. And you have to come every Monday. Because if you don't, then we're not going to get what we need to out of it. So we started meeting every Monday night, and it quickly became, oh, I can't wait until Monday night. Mondays are tough. I'm a teacher, so going back every Monday can be tricky. So it turned out to be this amazing experience where we started, you know, we the book that we read was on hospitality, and we quickly learned that hospitality is not about, you know, making sure that your house is clean and, you know, entertaining. You know, I have to make it fun for when people come over. And we really learned that hospitality is loving people and meeting people where they are and inviting them in and realizing that it's not about you. And so we have been meeting since September, and we've had some new people join us. And we now are doing a Bible study on the topic is woven. It's through If Gathering. And we're talking about discipleship. So we have gone from hospitality, which sounds, you know, kind of fluffy and easy, to how now do we really give back and disciple others and bring them into our lives?
I guess as Nettie said, I was late joining the group. So I joined about in January. And I think if anything to take away from a small group, I had gone to adult Sunday school classes for a lot of years, but there is just something different about a small group. Pastor John talked about rubbing shoulders together this morning, and that's really the difference. And the whole thing of just saying yes, because it's scary at first. I was scared because I didn't know anybody in the small group, but Nettie, heck, I didn't even know a lot of people in church. But it's just that listening to when God's tapping you on the shoulder and not just the doubts of the other guy talking to you.
So I just want to ask, how did that small group, we were talking about Jethro speaking into our life, how did that small group play that role for you? How did people speaking into your life in larger capacity grow you?
Well, as we met, we just, I think, opened up to each other a little bit more, allowed each other into our lives a little bit more, as we grew from our hospitality topic, really, about opening up to other people, to now into trying to talk about discipleship and what that looks like for everybody to follow Jesus and have others follow us. I think if we think about enlarging our capacity with each other, we actually told our stories and shared our stories with each other, which was very kind of challenging and difficult. But as we've grown together, each week there's a new challenge and a new adventure that really, I think the purpose is that God is enlarging our capacity with each other and hopefully to grow in our relationship with him.
All right, let me ask you, you know, a lot of this has to deal with your soul, you know, what's going on inside of you, and how did this group care for your soul? I mean, it's a similar question, but it's a little different. It's not about necessarily what you do sometimes, it's also about how they care for you. And so do either of you want to answer? It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I can start on that one. In January, Mike encourages everybody to choose a word. And so we all chose our word. And the year before, I chose a word, too. And it was joy. And it was a really good word for me. And, you know, joy is an easy one, kind of. But this year, my word was endurance. And I thought I had it all figured out when the word came to me. And, you know, we met the very first week after and started talking about our words and what that meant to us and what do we think we were heading. And I think what a lot of us in our group are realizing is that what we thought that word was about was not necessarily what we thought it was about. And it has helped me grow. These women help me every week because, you know, I personally have had a lot of things that needed to help me grow this year, and endurance was not about, you know, getting my body in shape and I was going to take care of myself and it was all about me this year. Well, that was completely not what happened. And these women are with me every week, and we're with each other to speak truth to each other in love and to listen to one another and help each other through these difficult times. And I think just about every single one of us has had something difficult that we've had to deal with this year. And we have a really safe place where we know that we can talk with one another and we use scripture to help us get through some of it, but we also have empathy and kindness and love, and we're really living that love and helping each other get through these everyday life of life, you know, challenges that come with that.
And there's a lot more I could ask, but we're out of time for that. But I wanted you to see that this idea of Jethro doesn't always have to happen with one person. It could happen with a group of people speak, because they see your life better than you see your life sometimes when you allow them to look in. And I'm just telling you, I would guess, you can speak against this if you want, that you guys would not be where you are today, spiritually and in some other areas, without this band of sisters, in this case, of Jethro's in your life. Is that right? So again, you have to make a choice, right? Of if you're going to try to do it yourself, I think you're going to fall short. But if you choose to allow people to speak in your life, the possibility of your growth just it multiplies. That's how we grow. That's how God chose us to grow. So we're going to pray for you. And ask God to expand you, and that God brings people into your life, not only just for you to have a Jethro, but you also need to be a Jethro to people. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for how you do provide people for us, even sometimes when we don't see it. People that will challenge us, grow us, people that we can be authentic with. God, help us to get past our fears. Help us to get past our image. Help us to get past our busyness. Help us get past our view of success, to really be able to allow you to work in our life. And I pray that you'll work through this idea of having a Jethro, having someone that speaks truth and even hard truth and says hard things, people that we can submit to, people that can see us as we are and still love us, but also speak honestly to us. And help us have hearts that receive. God, help us have humility. To be able to say, yes, that is true, and I need to change these things. And so, God, I pray that you'll expand our church as we just pursue what you're calling for our lives is. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies.